What you're telling me now is discouraging to me. And the deacon said, no, we don't want to be discouraging to you. I'm just telling you that you preach a little bit too long. And he said, well, how can you help me out? You've got such a big idea here. What are you going to advise me to help me out? He said, well, I tell you what, take this mint and thank you. He's got a note out there. See that sign? He said, turn your microphone on. I turned it on, and now it's going red. And you know what Tommy Hilton said that meant? Shut up. Means to stop. And it's just not working, brother. Okay. It interrupted my joke. Maybe the microphone is joke enough, huh?
There you go, my friend. Fix that for me, and I appreciate it. Well, anyway, the pastor said, what can you do to help me out? You're such a big encourager. He said, I tell you what, each Sunday I will provide for you a mint, and you put that in your pocket until time to preach. And then when it's time to preach, you stick that mint in your pocket. And when that thing is completely dissolved in your mouth, it's time for you to hush up. Thank you, young man. I appreciate that. Did your daddy teach you how to do that? He didn't. You learned on your own. Thank you. Now, you think what courage it takes to walk down in front of 200 people like he did and think how embarrassing it is for me to have to fool with this thing right in front of you. So anyway, the deacon said, now you take this mint and put it in your... It worked for two or three Sundays too, by the way. And so one particular Sunday, the preacher's back at his old habits. He goes on and on and on and on and on and on. And after the service, the deacon said, what in the world happened? Where's your mint? He said, I tell you the truth, I put the mint in the wrong pocket. And when I went to draw the mint out, I drew a button out and put it in my mouth. And I wondered why that thing would never dissolve. And I'd put a button in my mouth. And that's like saying, button it up, preacher, you know, button it up. I just want to encourage you. That's all that my mission has been since I came to you a year ago. Today, Pat and I are celebrating 1 year with you. And thank you. 1 year ago was Easter Sunday, and that was my first Sunday officially as your interim pastor. And this saying is true, time really passes by when you're having fun. And we've had fun. We've enjoyed it so very, very much. And of course, how long we'll be with you is totally up to the Lord. And until then, I'm going to keep right on loving you and encouraging you, and we're going to keep moving forward. I cannot believe the changes I've seen in this place in 1 year. I'm not talking about masses of people. That will come over time, especially after the church calls a new pastor. But I'm talking about the attitude of being positive and watching you love each other and watching you smile with each other and embrace each other. I've seen so many changes in the atmosphere of this place. And you're doing so well. And you, who I call sometimes the remnant that has hung in here with this church, are going to be the very ones that's going to carry this church forward long after Pat and I are but a memory. But we will always be a fond memory, and I'm talking about our memory of you will always be a fond memory. Isn't that right, Pat? Absolutely. Now for the Word of God. The 13th verse of this 24th chapter of Luke, this is the word of God. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Now what day is this? This is Resurrection Sunday. And they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" And they stood still, and their faces downcast. And one of them, named Cephas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. And the chief priest and the rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him." Now I want you to skip down just a few verses. And I want you to look down at verse 28. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going on farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over." And so he went in to stay with them. And here's the great climax. Watch what happens. And when he was at the table with them, he took the bread, he gave thanks, and then he broke it and began to give it to them. Does that remind you of another time when Jesus did that? Well, of course. The Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples. And watch what happens. When he took the bread and when he blessed it, and then he broke it, the scripture says, then their eyes were opened. And they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. Thank you, Lord, for these powerful words, and I just pray that I might find the strength to speak about them to these precious people so that it might be an encouragement to them. And I'll give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Way off in the mountains of Ashe County, North Carolina, between the years the 1900 and 1925, life was rough and it was poor and it was secluded way back in there in the mountains of Ashe County. And there was one little church there that was built by Baptist missionaries along the creek that runs by a little town called Tuckerdale. And itinerant preacher came by there every 2 weeks to preach in that little church. And the people were so anxious and excited from Sunday to Sunday, anticipating his arrival. And he would ride in there on a horse and buggy, and if his wife didn't come with him, he rode by himself on horseback. It was an exciting time when the itinerant preacher came to the little village of Tuckerdale. But if something happened and he did not show up, they were miserably disappointed. They had hoped for another Sunday of the grace of God to fall down on them and they be filled with the Spirit and once again be enlightened by the sacred Word of God. That story is a story of the home village of my mother. But it is also a reminder of the story that I've read to you from the scripture this morning. It seems that these two individuals, we're not sure who they were. Apparently they were close to the Savior. They were not two of the original disciples because they're back, as you find out later, when they joined those disciples. But nonetheless, they were followers, and the events have caused them to leave Jerusalem, and they're heading towards Emmaus. Now, I'm going to bring to you 3 points around this passage of Scripture. Here's the first point. Discouragement, yes, but understanding, no. Here is the real meat of this point. I want you to think for just a minute of some things in your own life that have brought, at least periodically, some discouragement to you. Perhaps that discouragement was because of the disappointment in someone else, or perhaps a disappointment in your church, or maybe your children. But nonetheless, there's none of us within the sound of my voice this morning that at sometime or the other, has not experienced some discouragement. Now, it didn't matter to these two disciples what they had heard. And they had heard about the reports of the women who went to the tomb and found it empty, and how they rushed back to tell Peter and the others. None of that mattered, because they were not focused on what they had heard. They were focused on what they felt. And they told the one who had joined them on the road that day, "We had hoped." And they named what they had hoped for. They said, "We had hoped that this one was going to redeem Israel." And you know what they meant by that? It was nothing to do with the spiritual at all. They had hoped that this one from Nazareth would redeem Israel, that is, take them away from their political oppression and restore Israel to its rightful place in history. They had hoped that this one from Nazareth would redeem Israel. What does this word redeem mean? Think about it for just a minute. The word redeem means to pay a price for and buy back. And how many times has somebody been your redeemer? Now, redeemer comes in 2 ways. You can be a redeemer to other people. So somebody is miserably discouraged, and you don't even know why. Because after all, it may be something very private. But you can tell by the facial expressions and by the way the shoulders are slumped over and by the way a person is out of focus when they are discouraged. But you know what? You can be something to that person, perhaps, that nobody else can be. You can be an encourager. And in essence, what you're doing when you're becoming an encourager to somebody else is that you're redeeming them out of their oppression, out of their discouragement. You're paying the price to put yourself in front of the person that is discouraged and helping them make their way back from that discouragement. And the only reason that I've heard or excuse that people refuse to be an encourager to somebody that's discouraged is because they say, "Well, I don't want to stick my nose in their business." And the truth could be that they may be waiting for somebody just like you to stick your nose in their business, if you want to call it that. But what they're looking for is encouragement. Somebody to redeem them. And what these two on the road to Emmaus did not realize when they said, "We were in hopes that he was going to redeem Israel." And they didn't realize that he paid the price by his very death on the cross, not only to redeem Israel, but to redeem the entire world. You realize if you're here today, born by the blood of Jesus Christ, saved by his mercy and grace, that you are a redeemed person today, just like I am. And it was not the price that you paid or ever could pay. It was not by works that you were saved, lest you would boast about that. But it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith. And that not of yourself, lest any should perish. No, redemption has held true in your case and mine as a born-again Christian. The price has been paid. But at times of our discouragement, sometimes that discouragement comes from seeking the truth. That's what we want to do, but sometimes the truth is standing right in front of us. And these two discouraged travelers on the road to Damascus had the truth standing right in front of them. But as the scripture says, they were prevented, verse 16, they were kept from recognizing him. I wondered about that. What's the big secret right now? And the reason they were kept from recognizing Jesus right off was for their own benefit. Because, you see, they had to work through their discouragement. Now, when we are discouraged, and we really do need somebody to redeem us from that, we really have two options then. We could wallow in our discouragement, and you ask Pat, that's what I like to do. When I'm discouraged and depressed, I like to wallow in that, and I like to get all the sympathy I can get, and I like for her to baby me and say, oh, bless your heart, you poor little thing, when I know what she really wants to do is kick my big tail and say to me, you snap out of it and get over it. You think you're the only one that's ever been discouraged? But not her. Not my encouraging wife. She wants to redeem me and help me work through that on my own. Because if I can work through it on my own with her assistance as my redeemer in that case, then I'm going to be a whole lot healthier after it's all said and done. Don't you see? And that's why Jesus kept them from recognizing him right off the bat. Now notice that leads to point number two. In point number two, notice that in times of discouragement, like these two on the road to Emmaus, Jesus is walking there with us. Did you realize that you cannot escape? Hard as we may try sometime, we cannot escape the awesome presence of the Savior. If he saved us by his glorious grace, why would he save us and then leave us wandering on the road to discouragement? He would not. He may want us to work through it. He may want us to recognize our own selfishness to the point of where we feel sorry for ourselves, but he wants us to recognize that. But because we feel that he is not there is not reality. In reality, he really is there. And he has said, I won't leave you, nor will I forsake you. But I am with you in those times. And so notice what Jesus does. He joins them in the moment of their lowest emotions. And he begins to walk with them. But as he walks with them, notice what he does next. He challenges them to identify their emotions. That's a hard thing. That's a hard thing. I've shared with you from time to time. I got a couple minutes to share this with you again. But I've shared with you from time to time how I had gotten to the point about 10 or 12 years ago where I was really a discouraged and emotionally sick person. And my doctor at Baptist Hospital in Winston saw that in me and advised me that I go to the VA and get some counseling, because he recognized right off the bat that I was suffering. After all of those years back from war, I was suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, as it's commonly called. And so I went to the VA in Salem, and I enrolled in a couple therapy groups. And what they tried to do with this veteran is help me to identify what my emotions were and why I experienced times of deep distress and emotional upheaval and anger and all the rest that goes along with that disease. But I had to identify it. What is it that an AA does for the alcoholic? They lead the alcoholic to identify for themselves and come to admit that, hey, I've got a problem. I'm an alcoholic or I'm a drug abuser. And they try to get the one who has the problem to identify their emotions. That's what Jesus does. He joins with them, and he walks along with them. And he says to them, now listen to what he says to them. He says, what were you discussing as you walked along? As if Jesus did not know. I mean, here's the Savior that has been resurrected and came out of the tomb. The one who is the omnipotent, the one who's the omnipresent, walking with them. And he says, what were you guys discussing along the road to Emmaus? As if he did not know. And so he didn't ask that question for his benefit. He asked that question for their benefit, so that they would identify their emotions. And then something marvelous happens. The scripture says that what he does then is open the word to them. And they told him, we saw him as a prophet. We saw him as a powerful word and deed before God. But he was arrested and he was put to death. And then he said in verse 25, how foolish. How slow to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. And beginning, now watch what he does in verse 27. And beginning with Moses, and bringing them all the way through the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all of the scriptures concerning himself. I'm reminded when I wrote to type that particular point of my message this week, one thing that came to my mind was in Romans chapter 10. And in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, listen to what it says. Faith, and every one of us here at one time or the other have said, oh Lord, give me more faith. Or, oh Lord, I wish I had the kind of faith that person has or that person has. And the scripture says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So not only did Jesus want them to identify their emotions, But also, he begins to break the word of God open to them. You see, Jesus breaks two things that day, and their eyes are not open until he does both of them. Here, he breaks the word of God. And he opens up the word of God, and he begins with Moses. He comes all the way through the prophets, and he explains to them about who Jesus is. Well, I think that these guys' real problem was not just their emotions, but I think it was also a problem of the heart. Because that is oftentimes where we are. Our emotions preoccupy our spiritual attention. We become so emotionally distraught and sometimes so emotionally discouraged that gets in the way of our vision. We're blinded by that. And the only thing that we can see in front of us is our discouragement and our emotional upheaval. Now, we allow that to happen. Hey, watch. We allow that to happen because we know better. You know, this is the preacher preaching to the preacher. We know better. But these guys didn't know any better. And that's why they needed not only to have the word of God broken before them, but they needed to have their eyes open so that they might truly see the one that's walking with them. And you know what? They could have discussed these matters all the way to Emmaus. And they could have discussed these matters, as my grandmother used to say, till the cows come home. One time I remember asking Grandma Callie, she was a little short lady, but boy, she had spunk, my goodness. And she was, she was the matriarch of the family. When Grandma Callie spoke, everybody gave their full attention. And she used to use that phrase, "You could do it till the cows come home." And one day, being an inquisitive person like Andrew was, our oldest son, I mean, he constantly was talking and constantly was asking questions. And I said, "Grandma, what do you mean when you say, until the cows come home?" And she told about the old farm that they were raised on outside of Christiansburg, between Christiansburg and Radford. And she said the cows would get out. And they had two options when the cows got out. They either had to go find them and bring them back, or my granddaddy Lawrence would say, "They'll come home. They'll come home. When they get hungry, they'll come home. They not only know where they're fed, but they know when it's time to be milked. And they'll come home." And sure enough, they did. They came home. Now, Eric, I'm not advising you let your cows out. And he told me one time about the bull getting out. But Grandma Callie said, "They'll come home. We can talk till we're blue in the face sometimes, or until the cows come home." And these two boys could have talked and talked and talked. But what they really needed, besides the broken word of God, they needed to have their eyes open. Now that leads me to point number three. Now notice who opens their eyes. Now he opened the scripture, that is, Jesus opened the scripture, and then he opened their eyes. When we're in emotional upheaval, when we are discouraged, we can consider all the advice given by who knows who. And people are always willing to give us advice. As I said earlier, there's a difference between giving people advice because you're sticking your nose into their business than giving people encouragement because that's what they need in their discouragement. And so, after we consider all the advice given by Lord knows who and we suddenly realized, well, I appreciate that advice, but I'm still discouraged. And after we've listened to all of the tapes and the CDs on self-fulfillment and emotional stability, and there are thousands of them out there, most of them do not approach it from a Christian or spiritual perspective, we realize after listening to all of that, we're still discouraged. And after we have listened to all of the regimentation, thinking back on our Christian experience, suddenly it comes to us. What about the Word of God? What about it? And the two had heard the witnesses. The two had heard about the angels. They had heard about Peter and the rest of the disciples. They had heard all of this. But now Jesus is there. And the scripture says that because Jesus was there, a great turn begins to happen in their lives. Listen, friends, if we could just appreciate more and more that Jesus hadn't gone anywhere. In the midst of our discouragement, Jesus hadn't gone anywhere. When Jesus saved us, he came into our hearts through the presence of the Holy Spirit. And he hasn't gone anywhere. No, it's oftentimes in our emotional upheaval and discouragement that we step back from him. You know, we take the path on the road to Emmaus. Emmaus meant discouragement. That's what Emmaus means. It means walking away from the risen Savior because of discouragement and misunderstanding. And so Jesus hadn't gone anywhere. In fact, he continually comes to us in the midst of it all. He hadn't gone anywhere. And so he has for them a gift of renewing by the opening of their eyes. I thought, wow, in conclusion, what a Bible conference this must have been. Wouldn't you have loved to have been in on that Bible conference? I mean, you think about it. Imagine, just for a minute, imagine this great Bible conference. Here you have the greatest Bible teacher explaining the greatest biblical themes. I don't necessarily, to give you a couple of examples, I don't necessarily enjoy the preaching style of David Jeremiah. He's not an evangelical type of preacher or an evangelistic style of preacher. But you know what I like about David Jeremiah? He is a fantastic Bible teacher. One of the greatest that I've heard. Now you imagine that compared to our Savior Jesus, who's out here on the road with these two heading towards Emmaus. And he begins to break the word of God for them. And what a Bible conference is this? The greatest biblical teacher explaining the greatest biblical themes. From the greatest book that has ever been written and bringing the greatest blessing to greatly discouraged men. And just like the upper room, as I mentioned to you when I was reading the scripture, just like the upper room, Jesus takes the bread and he blesses it. Now listen, you know what I do for you here every Sunday in case you have forgotten? I take the bread of life. Sorry about that, Mike. I take the bread of life. And as humbly as I know how, and certainly as steeply as I know how, I break the word of life. When the devil tempted our Savior, In the wilderness, Jesus said, man cannot live by bread alone, but by what? Every word of God that proceeds out of the mouth of the divine God Almighty, the creator of this earth and all that is in it. What a great Bible conference this must have been. And like the upper room, where he takes that word and he breaks it, he says to his disciples, this is my body which is broken for you. And when he breaks that bread, oh, watch what happens. Suddenly, their eyes are open. Obviously, this is a spiritual connotation here. Their eyes are not shut. They're able to walk around and see. They've been walking down the road to Emmaus. But now, spiritually speaking, their eyes are open. Oh, listen, Lord God. Open our eyes and help us to see wonders of your grace thou hast for me. And Lord, having opened our eyes, now Lord, open our ears that we may hear glimpses of truth you have so dear. It can happen. You take this with you from this place. In those moments of discouragement, whether they be now or in the future, remember, Jesus is walking along with you. And he wants to do one thing in your life, and that's open up your eyes and that you might see him, and open your ears that you might hear him. Pray with me. Oh Lord God, this assurance for your people brings not only an encouragement to our souls individually and collectively, but Lord, their words also for the whole church. How, Lord, can we possibly function in a world like this if we don't receive a blessing from you from time to time, by realizing that we do not walk the path to our own Emmaus by ourselves? You are there all the time. You have been there all along. Oh, how I thank you for that. Now listen, just for a moment, I don't know where you are now in your life or what's going on with you. But if you need me to pray with you, or if you need to come to the altar, or whatever you need today, be encouraged. Be encouraged by the Word of God. Be encouraged as He opens up your eyes this day. And come if you need to. Or commit it to the Lord Jesus in your own way. But regardless of that, you let Him have his way in your life. So Father, whatever happens on this day, we'll give you praise for it and receive none unto ourselves. And Lord, as we come to appreciate what you've done in our lives, we want to see you again and renew a steadfast spirit within us. Oh God, let it happen this day. In Jesus' name, amen.